Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
All right, this is exciting. This is, well, Sarah already looks excited.
I am.
This is Lorenzo's first time doing social. He's heard it, but he hasn't done the actual.
Yeah, never participated.
This is a big day for you, Zo.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We're excited, too. Welcome
I'm always excited.
Yeah. Are you? I don't sound like it.
Zo's
when social studies, when Sarah becomes a part of the show, I always get excited.
Okay.
He's too nice to me. Welcome into Social Studies, Zo, and everybody listening. We do it every day at 1 o'clock. Please do follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where Jarrett posts the questions, and that's where I pull the answers from, so y'all can participate with us.
I post all the questions.
Yes.
Whenever we get a ridiculous, silly, or bad question, everyone goes, oh, Jarrett must have posted this one. I post all of them, so the good ones, too, not just the terrible
ones. The good, the bad, the ugly, they're all Jarrett's.
Yeah.
Do we have any good ones today? Or is it? Have we ever had any good ones?
I think we have a couple good ones.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell us over the course of the next 8 minutes.
Yeah. Right. That sounds good. Let's start with our first question. Like I mentioned in the update, the NBA draft is tonight. Obviously not as big of a deal as it usually is for Phoenix Suns fans. They've got the 29th pick tonight, just in the first round, and that's it. So we are asking, what former Suns draft pick were you the most wrong about, either in a good way or in a bad way? And there are a lot of bad ones.
Wow. This is an intense question right out of the gate here.
Yeah. Who have you been the most wrong about?
Give us a couple of the listener answers.
Yeah, because full disclosure, I didn't grow up in the Valley.
That's
so
fair.
I'm technically a Warriors fan.
Oh, okay. You grew up in the Bay?
Yeah, I'm an Oakland guy.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know
really
too many bad
Oakland,
ones.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I see all the hype movement. Okay. All right. Yeah. You surprised me with that one. All right. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly. All right. Some recent examples that people wrote in. Josh Jackson. Dragan Bender. Ty Jerome.
Kendall Marshall.
Marquise Chris.
Maybe I've been pessimistic for the last 10 years because I didn't think any of these guys were going to be.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Definitely Josh Jackson in particular. Jarrett remembers because we were doing the rundown together and people would be like, you can't trade Josh Jackson for Kawhi Leonard because he's the next Kawhi Leonard. So I never was going to give Josh Jackson a chance.
No, and then Luke would say, well, Kawhi Leonard is the current Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you rather have that one?
That's right. Okay, how about wrong in a good way? I'm seeing a couple good examples, particularly Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
How many of us saw that pick and were like, great selection?
That,
not very many.
That probably would have been, that's probably my answer.
Okay. Well,
you said it earlier, too.
Yeah.
That you weren't quite sure about Cam. But obviously, you just never know in the draft. I mean, the draft is a crapshoot. I went undrafted. So, I mean, it's kind of really hard to
figure
out. You
over.
Know, I don't even like
I went
the
undrafted,
draft.
Too.
I don't even watch the draft.
We both went undrafted. Look at us.
All four of us went undrafted.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
What are the odds?
Oh, my gosh. Josh Pearlman submitted Cam Johnson. He says, I thought James Jones was insane. I think a lot of us did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they also traded. There was a deal around that pick where it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Zach says Josh Jackson, like so many others did. I was so happy that Boston picked Tatum. What an idiot I am. I like this one going back a few years from Bradley Soley. He says, Neil Walk will be better than that Lou Alcindor guy anyway.
A few years?
Right.
Go back a few decades?
A bit. I'm not trying to call Bradley old, okay?
That's fine.
Luke, rude.
Sorry.
Suns fan says, I was super excited about Marquise Chris. I thought he was going to be a top three player from that class for sure. Dragan Bender says AZ Sports Not 11. I had some high hopes that he would figure it out. The delusion that comes with years of ineptitude, man, I tell ya. And then this one from Raider J32. Too many to choose from.
It's a lot of honesty in the comments section today.
Absolutely.
I like it.
I completely respect it. And I think now that the Suns are doing something, there's something to get excited about.
Yeah.
It's easier to look back and laugh at yourself and be like, man, I was really trying to force that Dragan Bender or Marquise Chris or whoever on me. All right, moving forward to our next question. Speaking of the Suns, owner Robert Sarver was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday to talk about all sorts of things on the Suns season, Chris Paul, free agency, etc. In the interview, he was especially non-committal when talking about CP3 and if there was anything that could potentially get in the way of Chris Paul coming back to Phoenix. So we are asking, of these three options, who is most likely to be starting for a different team in 2022? Is it Chris Paul? Is it Aaron Rodgers, as we've been talking about all week? Or is it Madison Bumgarner? Most likely to be starting for a different team next year.
So not... So Rodgers, yeah. So Rodgers would be next season.
Yes. It's okay. Yes. 2022.
Yes.
Yeah. What year are we in, Luke?
I don't know.
I'll give you a pass on that one after the last 2 years.
I feel like it's 2024 or 2018. I don't know.
Man, because Mad Bum could get traded and then not be his choice, but I think that's a high probability. But I'm going to say Aaron. I think Aaron is just back. I think Aaron is still upset. I don't think he's going to want to be back next year. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I voted for Rodgers in that poll just because Bumgarner, I'm sure they'd like to deal him. But Rodgers, if Rodgers wants to leave, he will leave.
He will leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be so.
Yes.
Yeah. Madison Bumgarner got 52% of the vote. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to win this one easily. He got 37% of the vote.
52%, so that means in the next 24 hours, people are expecting something. Unless they think, I guess, in the off-season, they could trade him.
Yeah, off-season moves, yeah. 10% voted for Chris Paul, so a lot of confidence from Suns fans that he will be back.
Only 10% of our audience are Lakers fans.
Yeah, our Knicks fans.
That's fine.
All right, moving on to our next and presumably last question, given that it is 1:10. Earlier in the show, you guys were talking about a few years ago, Larry Fitzgerald visiting the Coyotes, getting on the ice and skating around and just his general athleticism as a freak athlete. So we're asking, what sport were you surprisingly good at the first time you guys tried it? And conversely, what sport were you atrocious at the first time you tried it?
I have my answers.
Atrocious, if you ask my mom, it was soccer because I was out there trying to tackle everybody, like literally tackle them.
Wrong one.
Right. I was a pretty good athlete, so you can pick any of the big three. I mean, but baseball was probably my most natural sport growing up. I just too slow for me. Not enough contact.
Okay.
I don't have a cool answer like that.
Neither do I.
I was better at football than you would think just because I was fast and I could catch, but I also weighed like 140 pounds, mm-hmm. so that wouldn't
still
work.
Do.
Yeah, maybe, but terrible at tennis. And I remember freshman year playing against a girl in our dorm who played tennis like all through high school, and I was like, I'll be fine. I don't think I scored a point.
Mm-hmm.
And was just laughed.
You learned your lesson,
right?
There.
I learned a lesson. I don't know what it was, though.
Yeah, oh, I know another sport that I was great
athletes.
At. As you talked about high school, me and my boy Jeremiah Fielder actually won our intramural badminton tournament.
Whoa.
So we were pretty dominant in badminton back in the day.
No kidding.
Yeah, pretty good hand-eye coordination. Baseball, I think, you know, played a part.
Have
in
you
that.
Seen any of the Olympic badminton? It's wild.
Yeah.
So wild. Jarrett, what about you? I know you ran track. What was the sport you were really awful at when you first tried it?
Well, I'm not. So, volleyball, I could
broke Jarrett again.
I could do the volleyball part. Oh, okay. I actually have the real answer.
Okay.
The surfing.
Oh. Wait, for the good or the bad?
For bad.
For bad, okay.
You were, wait, hold on. You were surprisingly bad at surfing?
I'm a natural in the ocean.
Yeah.
I am. I grew up on Long Island.
Merman.
So I went to the beach all the time. So I could body surf. I could boogie board. But the first time first and only time I ever tried surfing, first of all, I have terrible balance and I'm very weak.
No way.
So
I can see that.
So I could barely stand up, and any time I could stand up, I comically would tumble over.
Yes, I could see that.
But also, I did not know that you're supposed to wear either a t-shirt or a rash guard or something.
My
nipples got rubbed raw so awful on that it was such a miserable experience from paddling out on the board.
And for all of us picturing
that
yeah.
ever again.
Speaking of miserable experiences, I just want to go back to where you said you spent a lot of time at the beach growing up.
Yeah,
you do
natural.
Not look like somebody who spent a lot of time at the beach.
I didn't have this much body hair back then.
Oh, okay.
Did you always
but I always was pale.
The super white sunscreen stuck on your nose? Because that's what I envisioned for you.
Yes, in between my big black horn, rim glasses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't wear the shirt, but he wore the
even to this day, still, my favorite place in the world is on the beach.
Okay.
The specific beach? Do you have a specific beach?
Yes, in
that back there.
Ocean City, Maryland, or Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Oh, really? Okay. I've been to Bethany Beach a couple of
times. My dad's side of the family is in Maryland, so every summer we would go there for a week, so that's where it is. But I just went to San Diego a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed that very much, too.
We gotta take the ocean's cold. Surfing.
It's way too cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I got to wear a shirt.
On the West Coast, the ocean's cold.
Yeah.
Protect your nipples.
And on that note.
Was not, yeah, well, I bet you didn't think
good
you'd
advice.
End with that one.
Right? Just like, generally good advice.
Probably about the 10th sentence I've heard on this show this week that I didn't expect to hear or say. At least that one I didn't say. All right. That was Social Studies. When we come back, we will get back into Cardinals training camp. Please. Next. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander, in for Bickley Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station, Bickley and Murata. Arizona Sports, breaking news.
Well, it's not the Diamondbacks, but it is Major League Baseball. According to Ken Rosenthal on Twitter, Padres are close to acquiring Max Scherzer. So, if you were holding out hope, Diamondbacks would make up 40 games in the standings and catch the Padres.
It's unlikely.
It's going to be tougher now. Yeah, just that hill just became a lot.
And on the plus side,
climb.
It screws the Dodgers a little.
It does. I love the idea of a Dodgers Padres wild card series heading into. I mean, that's where we're at right now because San Francisco keeps winning. So it's like it's possible one of those teams would be out very early in the Major League Baseball playoffs. But yeah, it's not a done deal yet. But it sounds like Max Scherzer. Likely to be joining the San Diego Padres. And Jarrett, you said it's on the last year of his deal anyway, so this doesn't like hurt the Diamondbacks.
My dad is a huge Nationals fan.
Yeah.
And he told me that it could be one of those situations where they trade him and then he re-signs with the Nationals in the offseason anyway.
They were saying that about Escobar, actually, too, with the
he would re-sign with the Nationals? He's not even on the Nationals.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody's signing with the Nationals. That's what I meant. All right, let's get back into football here. And so I want to ask you about the receiver position. We talked about Fitz earlier, but Jarrett and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, you've got such a weapon in DeAndre Hopkins, and it at times didn't even feel like they used him to his full potential last year, and yet his numbers that he put up were still ridiculous.
Right.
But behind him, you have this weird mix of, like, I don't want, like, A.J. Green's not a question mark. He was one of the best receivers in the NFL for a while there, but, like, you don't know for sure if he'll stay healthy all season. You don't know if Christian Kirk is going to get better, if this is what he is, and you got a rookie in Rondale Moore.
Right.
So when you look at this Cardinals receiving core, is there a way that, like, ideally it would shake down 1 through 4, or is it just kind of you have Hopkins and the other three guys, or maybe even more, Fitz or whoever, just need to contribute, and it, like, 1 week it'll be this guy, another week it'll be this guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you have to do is just, you don't have to be another Hop, right? You don't need another one of those guys on the team, but collectively you guys need to contribute enough to where defensive coordinators have to worry about finding guys to put on you where you may. And then, you know, ideally you were like another guy where you can't double hop every time. Or if you have two or three guys on the field at once where you can't double hop and you're going to, or they can't, you know, roll defenses to him, so you take him out of the game. And that's what really those other guys' jobs are. And through that process, obviously A.J. Green at one point in his career was that guy. Can he get back to that with his age and coming off his injury? I mean, I know Wolf this morning was talking about how well he looked, how explosive he looked as far as speed. And so maybe he's able to endure. Obviously, 17 games a long time. But they have, I think, the depth to do it. Guys just have to step up and consistently be able to do it. We've seen, like, moments where guys kind of step up, especially when you think about some of the guys that have been on the roster, the younger guys. If they can step up and be consistently and do it, I think they have enough talent to be able to go out there and help Hop, take the pressure off of him, as well as take the pressure off of Kyler, where he feels like all he can look at is Hop.
Yeah.
You know, if those guys are getting open and creating some separation, then you start spreading the ball out, it makes everybody's job a little bit easier.
You know, with A.J. Green, you start to look, and I'm just going off stats here, but I mean, As fans watching football over the last decade, there was a stretch there where Green really was. Like, he was certainly in the top five receivers.
Yeah.
And now you go back and look at his stats. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver, what, 6 of his 9 years in the league? And one of the years he wasn't, he only got to play 9 games, and he still was, you know, at 700. Yeah. And another year he only played 10 games, he was at 964. The only year where he's really played all 16 games and had a down year production-wise was actually last year.
And he didn't even have Burrow the whole year.
He didn't.
So that makes a big change. And when you're on a team that's not that good, you know, and you're coming off of an injury,
yeah,
you're going to have a little bit of hit on your production. So, just hearing about how well he looks, and then you add in another dynamic guy where he doesn't have to be Hop, right? That's Hop's role. He got that. I'm getting maybe the second best corner. You can move me around. Hopefully they can evolve the offense so it's not so stagnant and people just line up where they're at. That production can easily sneak back up for him, especially if Kyler Murray takes that next step and is able to work through all of his progressions.
There's obviously no way to predict this. We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, though, the switch to 17 games and how that might hurt a team or all the teams in the division like the NFC West, just big picture trying to go through the playoffs after you've been beating each other up all year and maybe you don't get that first round bye because of that. I mean, when you start to look ahead to this season, and I'm not even asking for like specific teams, but just like the characteristic of a team that is better equipped to survive that additional game. Like if you're going to win the Super Bowl this year, don't you kind of need that bye week in the first round of the playoffs just to rest? Because 17 games is absurd.
Yeah, ideally you would like it. I mean, just in the normal playoff format, the teams that normally had that bye week would had a higher chance of winning the Super Bowl because you got a time to kind of catch your breath a little bit because the season is so long. Now it's only one team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, are the Cardinals ready to kind of, you know, win the NFC? I'm not sure. They have the potential and have the components to do it, but they haven't shown it yet. So I'm kind of, you know, I mean, you're thinking they're going to be a wild card contender. Maybe they win a division. That's a possibility, too. But I'm not quite sure if they have taken that step of, you know, having the best record in the NFC, especially when you think about some of these other teams that are out there.
Well, yeah, and that's, I guess, kind of where I'm going with this is, like, they have built this team in a lot of ways to try and win now when you go out and get A.J. Green and J.J. Watt and you know, Rodney Hudson, too. But you don't have an old team, but you have a team where it's like, especially when you add on an additional game. I just kind of wonder if it's either going to be a team that maybe can walk through and get that first round bye like Kansas City or Tampa if it plays out that way, or if it's going to be more of a younger team that is able to survive the injuries all season, or is it just a matter of you're going to get worn down whether you're 22 or 38?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL season is rigorous. Obviously, if you have a little bit of youth on your side, that always helps. But it's some guys that are not built just to play in the league and they're just going to have injury issues anyway. And so it's about those teams that have shown that they can be resilient, those veterans, they can have leadership and point some of these young guys in the right direction. Obviously you're going to have an elite quarterback and then you have to get a little bit of lucky, you know, and escape some of those big time injuries to impact players that can really change the trajectory of your season. As we saw with Kyler's injury last year, and probably the biggest reason why they didn't make postseason play.
Yeah.
If he was at, you know, full tilt, especially down the stretch there, I would firmly believe that they win those games if he's
at least one
healthy,
of them, right? Yeah.
And get in. And so you have to be able to consistently. It's a game of attrition. It's a group of men who can stay together the longest and battle through a lot of those things and make pivots. Because we saw Tampa Bay talking about they didn't start off hot.
No. Nope.
They got better as the season went on and hit their hot spot at the right time. And that's kind of how you want to have a season. You want to build. You don't want to get out to this hot start and then fizzle.
We come back. We're going to play a round of Mock My World. It's the first time. Well, I'm not going to count last week's Mock My World. So it's the first time in months that we've played Mock My World. That's next. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Oh, this is a tough poll question today on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Who will be better for the Cardinals next season, Isaiah Simmons or Zaven Collins? Those are your two options. I hope it's Simmons in year two. Right? I mean, if it's not him in year two, I'm going to be a little bit nervous.
That is hard. I want to go with Zaven Collins.
Okay.
Because he is the quarterback of your defense. And so if he's making an impact, everybody else around you is doing better because that means he's setting up everything, communicating well. And so you're not going to have those mishaps. And in this league, you get beat when you have busts.
That's okay. So there you go. Isaiah Simmons right now is winning the poll 83%, but that's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com, and it is now time for Mock My World.
Bickley and Murata, Mock My World.
Stop mocking me!
Brought to you by V's Barbershop.
All right, Jarrett, do you want to explain the topic today?
It's not a very complicated topic. There,
well, I know, but you always explain it. I know you're upset that it's not how to build the best sandwich for the fifth time in show history.
But it's when you have different components to the draft, you get different sandwiches every time.
No, you can play it every day.
We're a lunchtime show.
Don't oversimplify this, Luke.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But today's category, since we have one of the great NFL players in our presence right now with Lorenzo.
Thank you.
You didn't hear him when he ripped James Harrison earlier in the show.
Oh, no.
And then we realized James Harrison lives in Phoenix, so it's even better.
Welcome. Thank you for listening.
Standing by my car when I get out.
He's actually going to be co-hosting tomorrow.
The best players in the NFL right now, heading into the 2021 season. So any position, but if they are an active NFL player, the best ones in your opinion, however you judge that.
Yep.
Just so you know, the way you tweeted it, who the best players?
Bits.
Who the bets?
Yeah.
Is that really what he tweeted?
Yes. Who the bets players in the NFL right now?
It's, well, okay.
Which is an entirely different
draft. That's the
second
round.
Yeah. Who the bets players? All right. So, Jarrett, what is the draft order?
The draft order. Lorenzo has the number one pick. Then Sarah, Luke, and then myself. There's four rounds, and it's snake style. So if you're at the ends, you will go twice in a row throughout the draft. And it's a four-person team. And then we put it on Twitter, and the audience votes who assembled the best team. So it could be any position. You can have four quarterbacks if you want. You could have no quarterbacks if you want. But the best players in the NFL. Zoe, your first pick.
Anybody? I'm going to go with Aaron Donald, the most impactful player in the league right now. Can get to the quarterback whenever he wants to when he's not being triple teamed.
That was going to be my pick, so now everything is thrown off.
I think we were all going to go with Aaron Donald first.
Absolutely.
Of course. Defense wins championships, by the way. Yep.
Okay.
And if you don't vote for Zoe, you have to come in here and tell him that defense doesn't win championships to his face.
Exactly.
And James Harrison.
Yeah, James Harrison. All right, Sarah, you got the number two pick.
Okay. I think this is pretty easy. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
That's who I would have picked number one.
Yeah, of course. Everybody wants to be quarterback. It's a ton of quarterbacks out there that can play at a high level.
True. Career Super Bowls for Aaron Donald versus Patrick Mahomes, though.
Okay.
What does that have to do with anything?
Start that fight.
Now I'm going to have to hide from Zoe and James Harrison.
You started the show by criticizing the players' union like 4 seconds.
No, I absolutely did not. I was making a joke just because I knew he was.
Sure.
Just truth in jokes, as they say, right?
No, nothing. All my jokes are stupid puns.
The listeners can't tell, but Zoe's been staring Jarrett down for the last 3 minutes while he's talking.
I'm sweating through my shirt right now. All right, Luke, you got your next pick.
He's not necessarily my favorite player, but the guy's got, what, 7 Super Bowls? So Tom Brady is I'll take him at 3.
Really?
Sure.
Right now in 2021, you think he's...
I mean, he's the reigning Super Bowl MVP,
isn't he? You just said rings, and then in the second breath, now you think...
Rings are not all that matters, Luke. Obviously,
make up your mind.
Okay, but he didn't win them 10 years ago. He won them like 6 months ago.
I'm okay with what you're saying, Luke. I'm looking at Jared here. Just said, Patty Mahomes has more rings than Aaron Donald.
What has he done lately?
Come on now.
Oh, wow. It's a contentious episode. Okay,
that's part of the fun. I got two picks here, and I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP, and I'm going to go with Travis Kelce because he arguably is better at his position than maybe other than Aaron Donald. I'd say that the other ones are at their position. It's not as close between him and the second person. All right, Luke.
I'm in this second round pick. Odd position where I got to take players that are really good that fans in Phoenix don't like. So
that's
part of the draft strategy. I don't know if I really want to do this.
You're Mr. Seattle. Just do it. I know who you want to pick.
You want to take Russ?
I'm looking for any other quarterback. I'm debating between two. I kind of want to take the other one. I will go with Russell Wilson, though. Just trying to pick the best team, I'll go with Russell Wilson. So there you go.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I know the guy I wanted to take is going to be gone coming back.
That's your strategy.
Maybe. I don't know.
Somebody in this room may have played on the team with him. So there we go.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about the Horizon High School intramural chess team?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Well, then he might be off the board.
Okay.
All right, Sarah.
All right.
Players in the NFL right now.
I might catch some flack for this from Cardinals fans, but I'm going to take Devontae Adams.
I see what you're saying.
Interesting.
Nice. Okay. I like
it. That's a good pick.
So you were right. Thank you. I appreciate you not taking my guy.
Yep. You got two picks here, though.
Yes. And I should have thought about receivers, but I like Josh Allen. And then I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. Dynamic, run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield, line up a receiver, can do a lot of different things.
Definitely the best catch receiver running back combo guy. All right, Sarah, your third pick.
Okay. Sorry, I have to think hard about this one.
No.
Don't you love it when you're trying to think hard about a pick and we know it's live radio, so we all stop just to make it more awkward for you?
Yeah. Okay, I'm probably going to regret this. You know what? No. I'm going to take Derrick Henry.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to take.
Oh, nice. The king.
We should have left it silent more for you.
I know. That's what I wanted.
Let me disintegrate into myself.
We should have sabotaged our own radio station just so you'd mess up that pick. Nothing on the line. All right, I'll take DeAndre Hopkins.
There you go.
I mean, I can make the argument for him, but I'm not going to.
Do you have all offensive players right now?
Yeah, because somebody took Aaron Donald with the first pick.
Okay. Well, there's other great defensive players in the league.
I know, but that's the way the draft keeps going.
Man.
I got to make up for the Russell Wilson pick with the Cardinal.
Oh, okay.
You got to know the audience.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Is that what it is? You made that mistake last week.
I did make that mistake badly last
week. What was the draft last week? I missed it.
It was best player. It was a good topic, actually. It was best players to never have won a championship. I didn't know I was doing it. So scrambling, and I took Randy Moss over Steve Nash.
That's kind of what I'm doing now.
And Luke finished with 5.6%, I believe.
Yeah.
How much warning did you give him, Jarrett?
He did give me warning, but I didn't know when we were doing it, and I was trying to fill in for you, which is obviously the toughest job here, so I was scrambling. I had no list.
Good luck with that.
So now I got DeAndre Hopkins, that's all.
All right, I got my last two picks here. I am going to go with TJ Watt.
Okay.
And I'm going to go... maybe I should have gone. I'm going with Christian McCaffrey.
Nice. That was my other guy.
It's tough because he missed most of last year.
So it's not fresh
in your mind of how dynamic he is, but I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey.
He's Alvin Kamara. I was going with either one of those guys because of that.
Did I overpick with TJ Watt? I was trying, who is the next? We'll wait till we're done. But.
Yeah.
No, but now would be a good time to bring that up, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Luke and Sarah. We'll take that.
Yeah.
All right, your last pick, Luke?
I really thought McCaffrey would be there. All right. It's going to be an offensive player, and I apologize ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you're picking one.
I saw the look on your face. No, this guy had a couple 200-yard games last year, so I will take Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah. He was my fantasy running back. He did everything.
He did. Yeah. Mine was Christian McCaffrey. He didn't play football all year.
He did not everything.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah. It's all up to you.
Okay. I think there's this is up for debate, but with my fourth pick, I'm going to take Jalen Ramsey.
Ooh, that was my pick. I was going to take. I like it. I like it. Yeah. I like where your mind is.
So thank you for being my hype man. I appreciate it.
I like it. See,
he's ready to tackle me through this window, and you. He's
if you guys stop talking, then we'll be all right.
He doesn't do that.
You got to know your audience. You got to know your audience. True.
All right, Zoe, you got the last pick here to complete your team.
Since Sarah took Jalen, I'm going to rock with another defensive lineman. I'm going to go Chase Young.
That's a good pick. Okay. I was going to take Myles Garrett. How would you have felt
that's
if I did that?
That's a solid pick, too. Okay. That's a solid pick.
Hit you in the head with a helmet.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't know what you're going to get.
Who would your, after Aaron Donald, who would be their second best defensive player right now?
It's a lot of great players, man. That's kind of hard to say because everybody does something different.
I think that's why Donald was a good pick at number one because he is instantly the guy that you think of as the best.
Because I looked at Nick Bosa, but it's early and I didn't want to take a 49er.
Yeah, and he's hurt a lot.
Khalil Mack is actually kind of
I mean, he's not falling off, but he's not as popular.
Right.
Not what he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, with the Raiders, where you're like, Khalil, by far,
yeah.
It was him over Aaron Donald for a while, wasn't it? A couple years ago?
When they first came, But I think they're maybe a class or two apart, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Khalil was that dude.
Now the guy, obviously, conspicuous by his absence, is Deshaun Watson. May have gotten drafted if there wasn't so much baggage around him right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of baggage.
Did anyone write down the teams?
I actually did.
Okay,
I wrote down my team.
Real quickly go over the...
Zoe has Aaron Donald, Josh Allen, Alvin Kamara, Chase Young. Sarah has Patrick Mahomes, Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry, Jalen Ramsey. I have Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, Dalvin Cook. And Jarrett has Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce, TJ Watt, and Christian McCaffrey.
Should be close.
Yeah.
It's a solid.
It should be. All right, I'm going to put that will be put in about 20 minutes on Bickley underscore Murata on Twitter, and you could vote for the winner.
And that was what, the best players in the league?
Yeah, I think I have the best team of players. You just want all offense. You can't even do anything with that. You can't stop it.
No, nothing dynamic about Luke's team.
I feel like DeAndre Hopkins could play corner if he had to a little bit.
No. Offensive players, I don't rock with them. You gotta have a certain type of mentality to play defense.
What if we had done an all defensive player draft? That would have been more fun, and we all would have lost.
Yes,
but it would have been fun.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Go off the grid next. It's the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
This is the song of the day, Luke.
All right, Jarrett, feel free to explain. This is, of course, the song of the day. Why is this the song of the day?
Because I couldn't think of anything else, and you did not help me at all.
You didn't ask.
Yeah.
I did.
You didn't ask me.
You didn't hear me?
I did not.
I asked both of you. But, well, when you hear this song, what do you think of?
The NBA. Chicago Bulls winning titles.
No.
Oh.
You think of the NBA, and the NBA draft is tonight.
That's true.
Almost out of nowhere, it feels like.
It really does. There's been no buildup because the Suns just wrapped up their season, 8 days ago, 9 days ago? All right, so that's the song of the day, and it's time now for Off the Grid.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
I'm trying to just recap some of the top news of the day because there's been a lot going on. Of course, we had the D-backs trade last night, Eduardo Escobar to Milwaukee for a couple minor leaguers. It sounds like Max Scherzer is going to the San Diego Padres. As Jarrett just said, the NBA draft is tonight. So back to football. We hit on this at the beginning of the show, but DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice today. And then the Cardinals actually had to put four guys in COVID protocols. And these are some big names. Keyshawn Johnson, Rodney Hudson, Justin Pugh, and Andy Isabella. So, it's not like the biggest deal, but...
No, it's not. And I'm not worried so much about Rodney Hudson because I know he'll be ready. I think if anything, I'm worried about just him and Kyler's communication as far as identifying the defense and working through that. But Rodney's is an all-pro caliber. So that should come along. I feel more concerned for Keyshawn and what was the other receiver?
Andy Isabella.
Yeah. About them being able to have the opportunity, right? Because right now that's what we're talking about outside of Hopkins. How is that receiver core going to develop, right? And those guys are still young, still trying to prove who they can be in this league and their value to this organization. And so the longer time that you're out, the more opportunity you give to other players. Like a Moore who just got drafted, right, to showcase who he is and earn a spot. And so, as a guy that, come up in this league trying to figure out how can I make it, it's hard to see those guys sit out, obviously because of COVID reasons. But those are opportunities that they're missing out on right now.
And on the Hudson thing, Kingsbury actually did give a timetable for his return.
Shouldn't be too many more. So,
is there a set date?
It looks like August 2nd should be back.
Oh, that's actually very specific. Like he started that with it shouldn't be too many more. What? Practices, days, hours? August 2nd would be Monday. That is, and you just brought it up right there. I mean, Hudson's a vet. He's done this before. He's right. One of the best in the league. But that's going to be key is just making sure him and Kyler are on the same page. Because we saw, Jared and I were talking about this yesterday, and we talked about it a lot last season. You could give us a better insight. But the pre-snap penalties that the Cardinals had last year.
Yeah.
That... I understand some of that is just in the game, it's going to happen, but how can you work on that in practice?
Yeah, that's a lack of focus and a lack of attention to detail, and it really comes down to, the coach establishing a culture and making it punitive in practice. And so I've been on teams offense or defense, if you jump off sides, you got to take a lap, and then your backup comes in. And it's just, you have to come up with little things like that or a kitty, something to, where you're aware of and create good habits, because oftentimes last year when that happens, and like with any team, it sets you back. You're already behind the sticks where you may be struggling or you're not quite where you need to be offensively, and that's just a nut. You're beating yourself, right? And it's hard enough to win this league. You don't want to have things that are based on discipline and you just being locked in to deter you from winning the game.
Yeah. Another thing we talked about yesterday, I want to get your perspective on, especially from the defensive side. What the Cardinals are doing at running back, this is Cliff Kingsbury talking about the 1-2 punch of Chase Edmonds and James Conner.
Really excited about the 1-2 punch. I mean, two of the most serious guys you ever meet about football. I mean, they're all business all the time. When they're not going, they're either catching the ball or doing sit-ups on the sideline. I mean, they're what you want. And you have the bigger guy in James who's still got quickness and can catch the ball. And you have more of a scat back Chase who we think can be an every down guy. But they present different problems for the defense. So I think they'll really complement each other well.
Is that kind of where we're going? Look, Derrick Henry aside, yeah, guys like
there.
That. Yeah. But I mean, as a defense, you got to face James Conner who's going to just kind of run right at you. And then good luck finding Chase Edmonds on the next play, right?
Right, I mean, that definitely helps the Cardinals in having some complimentary backs, guys that give you different looks and give you different feels. I think, obviously you start building a game plan as far as how you're going to use those guys. So that could, for me, tell me, okay, James in the game now. Okay, it's going to be more downhill.
Yeah.
All right. Or maybe Chase is in the game, so maybe it's, okay, now they run more outside zone. And so I think as a coordinator, you want to also be able to make sure you're self-scouting yourself doing that process. Obviously, you want to put those guys in the best position, but you don't want to become predictable. And for me, when I saw that, personnel tells you a lot of things, and you can sometimes key on that. So it's going to be critical that they're able to do multiple things with both guys, because both of those guys, they're different, but they also can do some of the same things. So as a defender, I don't have a good idea, which allows me to have the advantage on that play.
Well, and I mean, I guess in practice too, as a defender, you could tell your offensive guys, right? Like, hey, we know what's coming. Maybe fix that before Sunday.
Of course, we've yet to see Cliff.
You hope so.
We've yet to see Cliff use two running backs, really.
Well, he's going to probably have to this year. All right, that's going to do it for us. Feel free to go vote for anybody in Mock My World that isn't Jarrett. For Jarrett Carlin behind the glass, for Sarah Cassell, for Lorenzo Alexander. Zoe, this was fun, man. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
I'm Luke Lipinski. We got Burns and Gambo next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
If you're listening to James Harrison, I'm wearing a gray T-shirt when I walk out.